Hello, everybody, and welcome to this special standalone bonus segment of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. Last week, myself, JP, and special guest Donald Terrio recorded a hockey segment that was supposed to be on the show that was on this weekend, but due to some technical difficulties, we couldn't get it done in time. So here it is. I wanted to get it up in the middle of the week while it was still relevant and all our playoff predictions weren't just complete crap because the playoffs were, we had moved on to the next round. So enjoy this segment and we'll be back Saturday with a regular episode. And welcome to this bonus segment of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. I'm with JP Corbin.
Hello.
And Donald Terrio.
My Leafs missed the playoffs. They just weren't that good. And now I want to hit David Clarkson with a three-wood.
Donald has been playing Child of Light, and we'll do his whole podcast in iambic pentameter.
Whole thing. Every bit of it.
So I hope you've been writing down your comments.
No.
And this is the long-awaited return, at least by like one or two people, of our hockey bonus segment. We had like who was it? I should give him credit.
Billy,
let me find
Billy
him.
Berghammer.
Billy was part of it. Yeah.
Well, Billy was part of it,
but it was I don't know their name, but yeah.
Let's see. Oh well, he doesn't even have his name on Twitter. It just says huge succeeded. But Tripon01, I think he writes into the show sometimes. You requested the return of the hockey segment, so here you are. I hope it does not disappoint because you are one of like three people who stuck around to listen to it. So we didn't do a segment right before the playoffs making predictions. So what we'll do is kind of talk about our expectations for each series going into the playoffs, and then how those expectations, probably for a good number of these, were not met, I would say. At least, I think, in the West. The East kind of played out how I would have imagined.
About that, somewhere in there.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and jump in, and we'll start with the East. If that's familiar territory for you guys. Let's go ahead and start, well, why not, with the Canadiens and the Tampa Bay Lightning. This is probably a series like I had the least amount of interest in. I don't follow the East that much, and I definitely don't follow the Canadiens and the Lightning. Like, they are so far off my radar, it's pretty unbelievable. So I think it was appropriate that it wrapped up in four games, and I just, as soon as it started, I had already forgotten about it because it was over.
I didn't expect it to end in a sweep, but then again, I suppose with Ben Bishop being injured for the Lightning in that series.
Yeah, I mean, that was huge. I mean, I remember, you know, everybody was talking about it. He was kind of really snubbed by the Olympic team. He was like a big kind of, you know, part of that team. And if he's down, I don't think it was that surprising given that.
I think like when they do the awards ceremony, because he's nominated for the Vezina, for his highlight reel, they should just show the Tampa Bay Lightning playing without him in the playoffs. And just like, there you go. There's all the proof you need why this guy should win this award.
I didn't watch most of the games because, quite frankly, I was hoping for most of the East to have a meteor fall on it. But there was a nice little bit of gamesmanship after Game 3. But other than that, it was a pretty boring series, except for maybe the Game 1 going to overtime and being 5-4 with Stamkos going off all big time styly. But yeah, tighter than it looks, but. In the end, Montreal comes out on top, and
yeah.
My only complaint is that the Latvian goalie for Tampa didn't do better just because of how he treated Canada in the Olympics.
Oh man, what a good storyline that would have been! Yeah, if he'd been able to just shut the door. Yeah, he looked rather pedestrian in that series. It was not too good. I think he might have even gotten pulled in one of the games. I'm not sure, but yeah, he was not too hot. you know, we kind of skipped past it, but before we move on to the next series, Donald, since we're not going to get to really talk about the Leafs because they weren't in the playoffs, do you want to talk a little bit about kind of the end of season collapse? Like, this, I feel like, was a big talking point for people, especially when it came to sort of like the advanced statistics and everything like that. Did you have a feeling throughout the season that the good times couldn't keep rolling, or were you pretty disappointed they didn't make the playoffs? Or?
I was disappointed, obviously, that we didn't make it. I was, there was a point around about game six of that 8-game regulation losing streak that you're like, yeah, we kind of figured the ceiling was going to fall in on us eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we had been so hot for so long, and I don't know why it just doesn't want to work out that we have a Toronto-Montreal playoff series. But
yeah.
But, well, I hope Brendan Shanahan has enough info on people that we can start getting key people suspended for next season and hopefully do well enough to maybe sneak in as a wild card.
That's how they'll do it, is just, yeah, like, exploiting people with bad discipline records and stuff.
If you disqualify the other 29 teams, then the Leafs have to win it.
It's just science. All right, well, let's move on then to the next series, and we'll move on to one that involves JP's team. Let's talk Rangers and Flyers. I thought this was a pretty good series, and I think you can gauge that by the fact that it went 7 games and was pretty tight. I mean, all throughout, I don't know, there weren't really any like blowouts throughout this series, were there, JP?
No, I mean, I think the biggest one, I think, was game 6 was the biggest, you know, margin. The Flyers won that one pretty handily, but
yeah.
Yeah, they were pretty much close games all around. I mean, I think it was a hard-fought series. I was disappointed the Flyers couldn't come out of it with a win, but, you know, after the way this season started, I think to get this far is pretty good, and you got a lot to build on for next year.
That's true. Yeah, it was a slow start for the Flyers. Yeah, Drew didn't score for, like, what, his first, like, 10 games or something?
Yeah. He didn't score for a while, and now he's a finalist for the Hart Trophy. He really came on late in the year.
Yeah, he definitely turned his season around. And, you know, both Donald and I both give you a lot of crap about Steve Mason, but I will.
He had a good year. Good. You can, like, especially this series, man. Like, the reason this series went to 7 games is because of Steve Mason. They weren't scoring much at all. Steve Mason was the key to this team here. They need to get him some help in terms of defensemen, but Steve Mason has really been consistently very good since coming to Philadelphia.
Especially in Game 7. I watched the whole Game 7 yesterday, and, I mean, he's the only reason that game was even close.
Yeah, and, like, the Rangers just scored 2 in the second period and held on to win 2-1. They could have easily scored 6 or 7 if Mason hadn't been playing at the level he was.
Because
I mean, the Rangers didn't get more than 2 goals, and I stand corrected there. Game 5, they put up 4, but I, considering Emery's record against the Flyers, I was against the Rangers, I'm surprised they went back to Mason that quickly.
Yeah, I mean, Emery, like, and to Emery's credit, he was extremely good in the first 2 games. Because as we learned after the season ended, Mason had been battling a concussion, which he had late in the season, which is how Emery got the start for the first 2 games. And he was good, and then he, you know, wasn't as good in the 3rd game, and they pulled him for Mason. Really, I think the Flyers' goaltending, whether it was Mason or Emery, was probably the strength of the team in this series, which, when's the last time you could say the goaltending was the strength of the team for the Flyers?
I mean, right.
Bernie Perrant?
I don't know. Hey, Hextall. You can give Hextall some credit there, but still, that's like 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, not so good. But yeah, I mean, just for your sake, I was kind of hoping the Flyers would pull it out. And, you know, I don't really feel that there's much animosity between, like, Chicago fans and Philly fans.
I don't, because the Flyers had no business being in that Stanley Cup final, okay? That's, like, I got nothing against Chicago. I mean, like, I'm fine with them.
Right, and, like, same here. Like, I have, like, I think it helps, too, that, I mean, well, it's a bad way for him to go out, but Chris Pronger not playing on the team anymore. He was probably, I mean, that team has had pretty big changeover too in the past 3 or 4 years.
Oh, there's so much that it's like there's almost nobody's left from that team.
I mean, Giroux, and he was what, a rookie?
That was pretty much like the whole team around him is new since then. It's a turnover. I guess that's what you get when you have Paul Holmgren as your GM. But
yeah, so I have no animosity against the Flyers. So I was kind of hoping that they'd pull it out just because I don't know why, but I'm not a really big Rangers fan.
Yeah. I mean, I just wanted it just because, you know, it would have, I guess as we're probably going to segue into it, it would have meant a Flyers-Penguins series, which are always fantastic to watch.
Yeah, that's true. And I didn't even factor that in, but that, I love when those two teams play each other in the playoffs, because it's just like, all conventional, like, hockey wisdom and rules just go out the window.
Even, in the regular season, they're crazy. But in the playoff, like, what was it, 2 years ago, where there was, like, 70 goals in that series. Like, nobody, there was no defense, no goaltending. It was, people were winning games, like, 6-5 all the time.
Well, not even that, but it was so physical. I mean, fights in every game. Like,
well, yeah, that's
it,
Flyers-Penguins. Even in the regular season, you're going to see that.
But playoff hockey, it's supposed to be, like, it's tight-checking. It's low-scoring. Like, you know, one-goal games almost throughout. And it's just not with...
That is not that series, no.
It was amazing, yeah. So we were robbed of that, but I guess that happens. Let's move on to another series I really wasn't too interested in, and that's Boston and Detroit.
I kind of expected Detroit to put up a bit more, and aside from game four, it really didn't seem like they were in it all that much after they won the first game.
Yeah, and even the first game, I mean, it was a 1-0 win. Now, that Datsyuk goal was probably the greatest thing I've ever seen. I mean, that goal was incredible, especially to win the game on a goal like that late in the third. Detroit didn't really put up much of a fight. And I feel like they really kind of came on late in the season, and you had guys like Nyquist just sort of like become stars all of a sudden throughout the season, and then he kind of disappeared in the playoffs.
Usually when you do that, usually when you get a team that gets hot late, that's a good sign going into the playoffs. Yeah. It's not like, you know, not to pile on Donald too much, but I think the Leafs peaked early and kind of fell off.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you get good right at the end of the season going into the playoffs, that's usually a good sign, but, you know, yeah, not in this case.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I mean, not to just pile it all on Detroit. I mean, it's not like they were playing just some scrub team. I mean, Boston is a very good team, especially defensively. So I'm not surprised that they sort of snuffed out Detroit's offense, however maybe limited it is. That series just didn't really do anything for me. Kind of like that Montreal 91. It sort of just came and went. So I don't know. But it ended how I expected. I mean, I knew Detroit wasn't gonna win that one. And then the last one in the East, this is the only series in the East I followed, like, closely. I mean, I watched, I think, all the games, and that is, between the Penguins and the Blue Jackets. What did you guys think about this one? Because, I mean, like, I feel like Columbus is, like, the eternal underdog, so you'd be crazy not to root for them.
Well, I mean, I'm, you know, I think it's somewhat well known that I am, you know, a big Cleveland sports guy. I mean, Cleveland doesn't have an NHL team, so that's part of how I became a Flyers fan, but I'm a huge Browns and Indians fan. And I don't really have a tie to Columbus, but at the same time, I would like to see Columbus do well. I mean, I guess now that they're in the division with the Flyers, I can't root for them as much as I used to, but I would root for pretty much anybody against the Penguins, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, all these 4-3 games, and Marc-Andre Fleury having his Marc-Andre Fleury moments, and to be fair, he's been having those since he was
fewer of those than usual.
Yeah. But I mean,
yeah, better, you know.
This guy was having those moments in junior hockey. Look up the 2004 World Junior Hockey Championship to see what Marc-Andre Fleury was capable of.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that's how he goes.
So at least he's consistent.
Yeah,
I believe I made tweets to that extent, like saying, "Oh
you
yeah,
did, yeah,
say what you can," but like, yeah, I don't know that any goalies is consistent in their playoff performances. Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, these repeat performances. Yeah, you got to give him that.
You know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, but yeah, this was a fun series, and I'm excited. I've seen games in Columbus, and I'm you know, I was just pretty excited for them to actually get some wins, and that just to see that fan base get so excited and energized was just cool. I mean, they got their first ever like playoff win for the franchise.
Yeah. As a little bit of a thing to throw in there, I saw a lot of references during the Flyers series because it was Steve Mason, because Steve Mason got his first playoff win in the Flyers Rangers series, because he, I believe, started, I think, all the games the last time the Blue Jackets made the playoffs and were swept out of them by Detroit. I mean, so it's like, you know, they haven't had the great, like, they didn't win a playoff game until now. So it's been, I don't know, 10 years. They've been around for a while at this point. Not forever, but it's been they're not that new anymore.
Right, they're not brand new. Yeah. So yeah, no, this is pretty good for them, and it was just exciting. And I really think that they had a chance to beat the Penguins.
They did. I mean, they weren't really blown out. Like, it's another series where they were fairly close games most of the way, and I think, you know, they definitely could have come out of that with the win.
I flipped over at game six when, after Pittsburgh had taken the 4-0 lead, and have a couple of friends on Twitter who are Penguins fans, so it's fun watching them slowly start to melt down as Pittsburgh starts right. choking away the lead. Yeah. Unfortunately, Columbus couldn't get the fourth goal, but
they couldn't, try as they might, the Penguins couldn't choke hard enough to give up that game.
Yeah. Fleury wasn't that miserable.
Fleury was unlike himself, really.
Yeah, I mean, just 3 goals in the third. He really shut the door after that. So that series kind of, you know, just ended how expected. But I'm glad that Columbus even put up a fight, because I really wasn't expecting that. That's one of those I could have seen as a sweep, even given the Penguins just sort of atrocious goaltending. I mean, that offense I just thought was going to be too much for Columbus, and they held in there, and that was fun. And I'm excited just to kind of see what they do over the next few years, especially now that they're out of, I think, a much more competitive West. Like, I think they have really, like, a lot of room to breathe in the East.
I don't know. I mean, like, they're in the division with the Flyers and the Penguins and, you know, the Rangers and all that. Like, it's maybe a bit more room to breathe, but not a ton.
Well, no, that's true, but the way I guess it works now with the wild card spots and stuff, I mean, I feel like they'll kind of always be in there. You're right. I mean, it's going to be hard for them to capture one of those top three spots, but after those three teams, I don't see why they can't capture one of those two wild card spots.
Yeah, I mean, they consistently. Can. I don't know. I think, I mean, going back, I mean, you look earlier in the season, I think a lot of the season, it would have been, you know, both of the wild cards, would the playoffs had ended then, would have come out of the Atlantic. The Metropolitan had a really poor start, but kind of came on strong toward the end. And so you got 1-1. You basically got the top four from each division. So,
right. So it worked out. So let's jump now to the West. And I feel like the West was just insane. It was just exciting stuff. So let's start first, with the number one overall team, which was the Avalanche, against the Minnesota Wild. This is one I thought for sure the Avalanche were going to take in like 5 games max.
Yeah. I mean, I think the fact that it even got to 7 was a pretty big shock.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. And yet, like, it just didn't work that way. I mean, I was really surprised by how the Wild were able to stay in it, especially given their goaltending situation. You know, they were like on their fourth goaltender by the time they got into the playoffs, with Darcy Kemper. And then he gets hurt in game 7, and our man, Brizgalov, comes in. And actually, I think Brizgalov played even the first couple of games of this series, now that
I
think about it.
He didn't play. I mean, I was actually looking up just before this. Yeah, he actually got 2 losses in that series.
Okay, so he did. I think he played the first 2 games, and then they went to Kemper after that.
Yeah, and then he came on late. He came on late in game 7, got the win. Making all of 1 save in his time on the ice.
It's just amazing. I'm so excited to have that guy around a little bit longer.
It's even more entertaining when you don't have to deal with him being the goalie on your team. If you can just watch him and say, "Lol, isn't he great?" But you know.
Exactly.
Colorado really came on strong near the end of the regular season and helped that St. Louis choked away their big division lead. And they were sort of, Colorado was sort of tabbed as an underdog just based on, you know, advanced stats. But I should have warned you guys that Nathan MacKinnon was a beast, considering I watched him play in junior last year. And he...
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he's from my hometown, and, you know, he was basically scoring 2 or 3 points a game all throughout the Quebec League playoffs.
Going all the way back to the draft, a lot of people were critical of the Avalanche for taking him there. Like, because, I mean, like... You know, like everybody's like, oh, the big guy, the number one guy, was it Seth Jones,
yeah.
right?
Right, yeah,
yeah.
Seth
Jones. He slipped all the way to like 4. I mean, like, he kind of fell, but I guess the Avalanche kind of knew what they were doing there. You know, he's had a hell of a season.
Yeah, he's gonna be a threat for a long time, and I'm kind of mad that he's now that Colorado's in the Hawks division.
Yeah, he and Patrick Waugh, for, you know, first NHL playoff series as a coach. He did take a lot of risks. I like that he pulled the goalie with 3 minutes left, several times in this series.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in game...
But dude, Craig Berube in the Flyers, they did that in, what was it, one of... I think one of those series.
The Flyers ended up doing it, I think, I want to say in game 5, they were down 2
Yeah, I think
goals.
It was, yeah, they were down by 2, and they pulled it with one. Like, and they got one back, yeah, they got one back, they got one back with 1.5 minutes left to play, they almost came back in that one, but.
Yeah, no, I think WoW's gonna like start, I mean, this is gonna be like a new trend, I mean, this is gonna be like the equivalent of teams in football like going for it on like 4th, and maybe not
long,
but.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't think this is, like, it's been going on for a little while. I mean, yeah, I think it's just starting to become more of a trend now, like, to really be more aggressive like that. And, you know, I like it. It's fun to watch when you get to see him kind of press in toward that at the end of the game.
Well, and his success rate for it, I think, is what makes me think that next season you're going to see a lot of people, especially maybe, like, new, younger coaches, I think you're going to see a lot of that. Because except for game, I want to say game 6 against the Wild, he did it and they ended up scoring, like, 2 empty net goals. So it didn't really work out so much there, but in every other game he did it. It seemed like they scored and they tied it up and they ended up forcing overtime, if not winning in overtime. So I'd be interested to see, sort of the statistical look at it and see like the success rate, over point at like 3 minutes early or like waiting to the kind of that last 90 seconds has sort of been the norm.
Patrick Waugh, so, Rivera of the National Hockey League.
Exactly. But that was just a fun series. And again, like, it's similar to Columbus. I mean, Minnesota obviously has had much more success than Columbus with both the Wild and the North Stars. But I feel like that's just it. That whole state just loves hockey. And that it's such a dedicated fan.
Yeah, Minnesota is really, like, you know, if you, like, I don't know that there's a bigger, you know, state for hockey in the United States than Minnesota. It's huge there. And,
right.
You know, it's nice to see them, you know, because even, like, they haven't, you know, been, I mean, they haven't been, you know, they, yeah, like you said, they're not, haven't had as bad luck as the Blue Jackets, but they still haven't been great, you know, and it's not, not a ton of history there in terms of winning like that, so it's
especially
not...
recently, yeah, I mean, they haven't really done much.
They had their big run in 2003 when they came back from 3-1 down twice. But I think that was their. I think this is their first playoff series win since that 03 season.
Yeah, I think you're right. So yeah, and then I thought Colorado would win, but seeing them lose, it does kind of make sense, especially when you kind of look at the games and the shot totals and stuff. I mean, all season long, I feel like Colorado has sort of played this dangerous game where they've given up crazy amounts of shots and they've just been bailed out by the fact that Varlamov has just been so good. And he wasn't bad in this series, but I think he was a little bit more human. And then you saw that, oh, well, now all of a sudden teams are scoring like 4 or 5 goals on this team. And it's not really, they're not dominating.
You're going to face higher pressure in this kind of environment. And,
right.
and they just couldn't, you know, like they could stick up to it in the regular season, but they dialed it up in the playoffs and they couldn't quite make it.
They basically pulled a Toronto. All year.
Yeah, exactly.
And, and just like Toronto did last year, it caught up to them in game 7.
Yep.
Yeah, but I don't know. I thought the, you know, there wasn't, I thought this game 7, though, in this series was pretty great. It went to overtime, but, you know, I don't think it has anything on the game 7 with Toronto last year. No offense.
Yeah, that was legendary.
I'm still going to therapy for that, by the way.
But you know what? I think that sort of legendary choke job has been kind of washed away by the next series we can talk about, which is the San Jose Sharks and the LA Kings.
Mm.
Like, I think people will not as readily remember the Leafs collapse now that we've seen the Sharks just completely like shit the bed.
Well, that's what the Sharks do. I mean, like the Sharks are basically, that's their thing, is they choke in the playoffs, but they've never done it quite to this extent.
So
before.
The Sharks are like a team of Marc-Andre Fleury's, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a terrible comparison.
So yeah, the Sharks go up 3-0 on the Kings, feeling pretty good, and then the Kings storm back to win 4, becoming what, the 5th team to ever do it?
I was the 4th team. They were the 4th.
Fourth?
Fourth in the NHL. And then there was, you know, you had Boston, or, you know, in baseball a few years back.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Okay, so 4th in the
NHL.
But,
yeah, so this would have been the Flyers. But, you know, of course, we mentioned, you know, the Flyers in 2010 came back and beat Boston after being down 3-0.
That was probably one of my favorite series I didn't care about ever, just because yo, dog, I heard you like blowing 3-0 lead, so we put a 3-0 lead in your 3-0 lead.
Like, you can't do, like, it's like if you put that in a script and tried to make a movie out of it, the producers would say, that's not realistic at all. It's just way too crazy. You were up 3-0 in the series, and then they were up 3-0 in game 7? Come on, that's too much.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, pretty bad. But there, the Sharks did it. They had their ultimate collapse and meltdown, and I imagine there's gonna be some big changes there.
Well, you figure you can't really collapse any worse than that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they gotta basically, maybe they'll come back and actually be decent. And, no.
Hey, Boston won the cup the year after they blew it. So.
And I did. I did point that out to John Lindemann when he was being very down about his Sharks in the aftermath of this.
But if Todd McClellan is gonna get fired for this, I fully volunteer him taking over in Toronto.
Oh, yeah?
Cause at the very least, we'd make the playoffs consistently.
Yeah, if nothing
else. That
would
be a step up there, yeah.
You guys will take that at least. Maybe you guys will get Tortorella. That'd be kind of cool. Huh?
If Tortorella couldn't hang in Vancouver, putting him into the media blender that is Toronto, not gonna work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was in the Rangers. I mean, like, I guess it's not Canada, but it's still a hell of a media environment. You'd think he would be able to do, Vancouver's not that good.
Yeah, I don't know how much you can really put on him. I mean, I don't know. He didn't really so much lead by example with this whole incident of trying to, break into the other team's changing room to confront their coach and stuff against the Flames. I'm sure the Canucks weren't too happy about that, about their coach getting suspended for 5 games. But yeah, that team was just bad in general. I don't know how much you can really put on him.
And it's a shame that TSN's losing the broadcast rights to the NHL up here, because I really want to see him on the TSN panel again.
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
Peter Laviolette. You want Peter Laviolette? He had a good run there for the Flyers.
Yeah.
He had a great run this season. Come on. He lasted 3 games this year.
Oh, man. That guy. But, yeah, so the Sharks are bad, and the Kings move on. So good for them.
And kudos to Mike Richards and Jeff Carter for being the first players ever to be on 2-3-0 comebacks.
Two teams. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, that's, I didn't think of that, but, yeah, they were.
And I think that's not even hockey. That's sports.
Well, because I don't think any other sport has had it happen more than once.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's at least definitely not within the same lifespan of active players.
It's happened once in baseball, and it's never happened in the NBA. So it would have to be hockey, Blair.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So yeah, so that series wrapped. I mean, it was exciting, but I didn't really pay too much attention to it outside of just really loving the fact that the Sharks collapsed again.
Oh yeah, I wasn't paying attention to it from the start, but by the end of it, when there's oh, this is actually going to happen, isn't it? So I started following it.
Yeah. Yeah, so good. I did watch Game 7, because come on. I mean, 3 Game 7s in one night, that's amazing. That's why the NHL playoffs are better than any other.
Oh yeah, and the Avalanche and the Wild game, overtime in Game 7, really, you don't get any better than that.
Right.
Next goal wins.
Yeah, so good. So let's go ahead and move on to, let's just real quick before we get into the one I'm going to really want to talk about, let's wrap up with the Stars and the Ducks. Again, another series just that didn't really kind of interest me.
This one I didn't follow at all, really.
The Stars weren't bad. They hung in there. They had a couple, good chances to tie the series or maybe even take a series lead early on, but the, Ducks were just too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, they've been a strong team this year.
Yeah, they seem their possession numbers are questionable, but I think Anaheim is one of those teams that has the intangibles, especially with this being Teemu Selanne's last year, they're playing for Teemu at this point.
Well, it's notable that he actually got scratched in one of those games. Yeah. He didn't play, which is kind of surprising, but I guess you got to do what you got to do to win.
It was nice to see Kari Lehtinen finally get a playoff win, and hey, Tim Thomas sighting.
Yeah, I forget he's down there. It's so appropriate.
That was the crazy thing. There was there's just so many goalies moved around at the deadline. I mean, there's 9 of them just switching places.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of goalies switching places, let's go ahead and move on to the Blackhawks and the Blues. Most notable for the fact that the Blues picked up Ryan Miller at the trade deadline.
Which is they were great. They were already a really good team. Miller, even at the time, even before all this happened, people were I mean, even if he is an improvement, he's not a huge improvement. Like, it was, you know, pretty subtle kind of change, so.
That's how I felt. I mean, you know, I don't watch as much of, too much Buffalo Sabres hockey, but just what I had seen of him, he just struck me as, I mean, yeah, he was great in the playoffs in 2000, or in the Olympics in 2010.
He hasn't been the same. And he, I mean, he played well in the Olympics this year in the, like, didn't he only play one game, but he played well in the one game.
Yeah, I mean, they won it, yeah, but.
You know, but yeah, I mean, he played very well in that game. So it's like, but he hasn't been, you know, I think he's kind of been just downhill since the 2010 Olympics.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, he didn't strike me as a big improvement over Halak. Who I still think is a fairly good goalie.
And to go out and trade for him, you know, like that. I mean,
right. Yeah. Yeah, it's one thing if you pick him up on, like, yeah, when he's a free agent or something, but to make a big trade like that, I was really, really surprised. So they brought him in and it was going to fix everything. And then they ended up losing their last six games, and fell out of the first seed and met the Hawks in the very first round. And this, I thought this series was really exciting. I mean, obviously I'm a Hawks fan, but just in general, I thought it was a pretty exciting series. You know, you've got the sort of added drama of the Seabrook hit on Backes, all the Ryan Miller stuff, yeah. And the fact that the Blues grew up.
Division teams, they don't like each other. And that's one of the things I love about the current structure of the playoffs, how it's built in a way that really encourages, like, division matches. I mean, at least half the games have to be division matches.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's like, I like that it's kind of emphasizing those kind of rivalries in the postseason.
Yeah, me too. No, I really enjoy that. I mean, it kind of makes my stomach turn a little bit to think that the Hawks will more than likely be facing the Blues every consecutive now playoffs for years to come. But
although if it turns out that every series ends up playing out the same way for St. Louis, I mean, you have the first five games basically had the same ending in St. Louis' series last year against LA and then this year against Chicago. I followed it as much as I was watching it to make sure you, Scott, and Neil didn't have heart attacks, especially when, you know, triple overtime, you guys have the marathon game of the playoffs.
God, yeah.
But I was kind of hoping you guys would sort of hoping you would lay off the gas in game six to keep it 2-1, but then, oh yeah, you guys have choked away two leads in this series already. So yeah, just go ahead, get those three extra insurance goals.
Yeah, let's not blow this one. But yeah, that was amazing. I mean, to back-to-back years repeat performances like that was just, I mean, unbelievable for the Blues. Yeah.
Blues fans, I got bad news. Next year, you're losing 8-1 in Game 6.
So yeah, and I don't really know where the Blues go from here, because it kind of felt like this was their year, and then they ended up stumbling into the playoffs.
It seemed like they kind of overachieved this year. I mean, like, those teams, like, I think, you know, you got a team like Colorado, I think, is a good young nucleus of talent who I think will be around and can keep this up. But the Blues, I'm not saying they're going to be bad, but I don't think they're going to be this good again right away.
Right. I mean, I would agree with that. I mean, now goaltending's a big issue because Ryan Miller walks now, and, you know, not that he was amazing, but
he might be a bit cheaper to sign at this point.
Well, maybe, yeah. But after that performance, yeah. But are they even going to want to pick him up? You know, I don't know. And then
I still got to think he's better than. I guess I don't even know who's even out there on the market at this point. But I mean, you know, he was actually very good for most of the regular season, even in Buffalo. I mean, yeah, some of his stats were bad, but his, like, save percentage was really good. I think, you know. I mean, like, it's basically him or whoever else they can sign off the street. It's probably going to be him.
Well, St. Louis could always get Halak back, considering he's an unrestricted free agent on July 1st.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's going to be too eager to sign with them after the way that went down.
Well, the Islanders are supposed to re-sign him. He just got traded to the Islanders.
Yeah, they traded his rights anyway, so I think it's a conditional pick.
Yeah. So we'll see, but the word is, I mean, I don't know that they would trade for him if he wasn't going to sign in a month, but I guess we'll see what happens. That would be amazing if the Blues picked up a lock again. Oh my God. But yeah, so no, that was just a fun series. I mean, I hate the Blues, so it was great to see them kind of collapse in that way, go up 2-0 and then just sort of fall apart. And yeah, I mean, just lots of drama. And honestly, I have to admit to being nervous about this series, just because the Blues have played well against the Hawks this year, and I do think they're a good team. But coming out of that series the way the Hawks did, like, I feel more positive about the Hawks now than I did going into the playoffs, even before we, you know, knowing that St. Louis was going to be the opponent. I feel like they really, for as physical and challenging as the series as it was, I feel like they really rounded out their game and look how they looked last year. So I'm actually feeling pretty good.
Especially considering instead of getting Colorado, you got Minnesota. Admittedly, still a tough matchup, but the fact that Minnesota went 4 overtimes in their series.
Yeah.
And weren't as strong and have the goaltending issues, so you're probably looking good to be the first champions of the new Central Division.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
You gotta get past Ilya Bryzgalov.
that's the trick, right? That's always the trick. So yeah, let's go ahead and move on to some predictions then for series. We'll start in the West then, since that's kind of what we finished on, and let's start with the Hawks and the Wild. Kind of, Donald, like you said, they played well. I think they're better than they were last year when the Hawks finished them in 5. But I think goaltending is a real issue, and I still think the Hawks are a better team. So I would imagine Hawks in 6.
I'm loaded up here. Yeah, I had I've got Hawks in 6 as well. Just, I think Minnesota can take, they'll probably get the 2 at home, but I think Chicago will close it out from there.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, like, you know, I think Chicago's probably going to win, despite what I really... I mean, like, I like the Blackhawks. I'm fine with them. But I'm still, like, rooting for the Ilya Bryzgalov miracle Conn Smythe run. Bryzgalov, you got him on, like, you know, the Tonight Show. You got Bryzgalov, you know, talking to the president. You know, I think it would be very... Just for the good of just me. Like, I would find that very entertaining to watch.
That's a good point. I guess if the Hawks can't pull it off, there's not a better team to lose to than the Wild.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, just having Bryzgalov get that kind of media exposure and just talk to so many people like that, I think would be great. But yeah, I think, you know, I think Hawks and 6, like the two you said, is probably the likeliest outcome.
And then let's go to then the another battle of California with the LA Kings and the Anaheim Ducks. For me, I'm going to go with the Kings. I think the Ducks are a good team, but I mean, they struggled a little bit with the Stars, and I mean, the Kings are just such a better team that I don't see how the Kings, don't pull this out. But just for fun, I'll say 7 games. Well, the Ducks will hang in there for Solani, but I think the Kings are going to be too much.
Well, I mean, I think the Kings, you know, if you come back, if you win 4 in a row to win the series after being down 3-0, I think you got to say the momentum's with them. They're cruising in a way that nobody else really can be right now. I think the Ducks are the better team, but I think the Kings might be the better team right now. You know, I think this is another series. I wouldn't be surprised if it went to 7 games, because I think this is going to be a very hard fought kind of thing. You know, I don't know. I think the Ducks are just overall a better team. I would say they'd probably come out of this. But, you know, Jonathan Quick proved, you know, a few years ago, he proved in the Olympics, he's one hell of a goalie when he wants to be. And they could ride him all the way. They could win the cup with him, really, depending on how he goes. So, but yeah, I would, you know, if I'm going to pick, I'm going to pick the Ducks.
I literally had to toss a coin when I submitted my picks at work for this one, and I ended up going with LA, but yeah, it's going to be a 7-game series either way. Thankfully, the travel won't be too much of a concern.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I can see this one going either way, honestly, but.
An interesting story to this is that, what was it, 2 years ago, this would have been, 2012, was the year, the only year, at least at this point, that I've gone to E3, and that was the year the Kings won the cup, and they almost, like, they had a chance to win the cup when we were there.
Oh, yeah.
And our hotel, I mean, because it was, like, the hotel was by the convention center, which is right next to the Staples Center, and so we were prepared for, like, riots in the streets going, like, I mean, you think, well, LA's not a huge hockey place, but you walk around LA, at least then, maybe it's bandwagon guys, but you saw a lot of Kings jerseys on people at that point, so.
I remember tweeting the NWR crew updates from home saying, yeah, you'll be fine. Devils hung on to win, so you avoided the riot until Saturday.
Yeah, and we were gone by then, so.
So 2 for Kings, 1 for Ducks, it sounds like. Let's move then to the East, and I guess we'll start with the one that's going on right now, and that is currently tied 2-2, to kind of reveal when we're recording this. Boston and Montreal. I feel like Boston's the better team, but I want Montreal to win, so I want to say Montreal in 7.
I've learned that Boston never gives me what I want. So although I would of the lesser of two evils here, I would prefer Montreal win this, but I went with Boston in five. Just because I think they're better top to bottom than Montreal is.
I think at least right now, and especially looking at, you know, I don't think there's a better team, at least on paper, that's still playing right now than Boston. They're just good. They're all over good. They've got probably one of the best goalies. They got a great defensive core. They just got everything you need. I would be very surprised if they lost this series. I'm going to say, yeah, Boston, you know, 5-6 at most.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see. Maybe I'll be right. I probably won't be. Boston's going to win for sure. And then let's get to, this for me is the toss up. Rangers and Penguins. God, you know, I say it's a toss up, but just knowing Marc-Andre Fleury's between those pipes, I'm going to go Rangers in six.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was like, this is me. I want the Penguins to lose. I always want the Penguins to lose. I was okay if the Penguins won, if the Flyers were going to win their series so that the Flyers could be the ones to beat Pittsburgh. But watching as much of the Flyers-Rangers series as I did, the Flyers took it to seven games and almost, you know, despite not really playing with a ton of intensity a lot of the way. Now, I don't think Fleury's going to play as well as Mason did in that series, but I think the Penguins' offense is going to put up more than the Flyers' offense did in that series. I'm going to say Penguins in probably like six.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with this. Penguins in six. I trust Pittsburgh's offense to at least bail Marc-Andre Fleury out once, if not twice, in this series. And that'll be the difference.
But I mean, the interesting thing is you really haven't been seeing that much production from like Crosby and Malkin in the first series. I mean, like they weren't, I don't think Malkin got his first goal until the last game.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he scored three goals in the series and they were all in the last game.
Yeah.
You can't keep Crosby off the score sheet that long. And even then he's still making plays, even if they're not ending up in the back of the net.
Yeah.
So there we go. So we've got some different picks. That's good. So we'll come back and compare once the second round's over and we go on to the conference finals. So JP, Donald, thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's fun.
Thanks for having me.
Always fun to talk hockey. Thanks for those, however many of you like to listen to this segment, and let us know, actually, tell me in the comments or on Twitter or whatever, if you actually listen to and enjoy this hockey.
Those are two separate things. I think there are a decent number of people who listen to them because they're there and they're too lazy to turn the podcast off.
Yeah,
but
you're probably right.
They don't really enjoy them. They just kind of like, because I mean, like, you know, you had John and James and Greg do the NFL talk, but I think there are people like them a lot more than they like us, really.
Yeah,
I think especially just Greg. I mean, I would just listen to Greg talk about anything for a while.
Sure.
So. But I don't think we have kind of the cachet that they do. I don't know.
No.
So, yeah,
no,
hopefully,
right.
Hopefully somebody appreciates this.
Yeah. So we'll see. So if you listen and you like it, let me know. So I know. I mean, I'll do it either way. Maybe I don't want to know. Maybe I just want to pretend that there's people
and
who
like it.
And
if you don't like it, we're going to make them even longer.
Yeah, exactly. And so you better not say anything.
And if you don't like it, well, JP has a ban hammer and he knows how to use it.
Oh yes,
exactly.
I control the forums, and if you complain, well, guess what's going to happen to you.
All right. Well, thank you guys for being here, and we will talk to everybody later.
Later.
All right. See you. Bye.